With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The big one at one, as we welcome you back on Grant and Danny, live on 106.7 The Fan, kicking off what is going to be one of the biggest eight-day stretches in recent D.C. sports history. Caps barreling down the stretch, fourth straight division title in reach. Nationals opening day at the ballpark on Thursday. Bryce Harper back with the Phillies on Tuesday. And, of course, the regionals in the NCAA tournament, Virginia Tech and Duke at Capital One Arena on Friday night. We want to talk tournament. Who better to do that with than the guy that I think is the best play-by-play voice in the country right now, and he just made the games he was calling so much more enjoyable and entertaining, and they didn't need a whole lot of help this weekend. Ian Eagle of Turner Sports and CBS is with us. Ian, it's Grant and Danny in the nation's capital. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good to talk to you.
Long time no speak. I guess let's start with Maryland, because we got a lot of listeners who care about the Terps. They acquitted themselves really well in front of you. I could not believe how many shots Dylan Windler kept hitting for Belmont. They sneak out a win in that game, and then they got their hearts broken by LSU.
Yeah, completely gut-wrenching. I thought they played well enough to win in that LSU game. Showed a lot of heart in that second half to battle back. But I would look back on this season as successful. Mark Turgeon has a tremendous reputation as a recruiter. And in this NCAA tournament, there have been some of those difficult defeats. But I like what he's got in this program. Cowan coming back for his senior year. Morcell has really matured. Ayala is a bit of an old soul. I think Jalen Smith returns. Fernando probably turns pro. He could use another year, but if he gets any indication that he's going to be a first-round pick, he'll probably jump at it. Aaron Wiggins was really impressive in that second-round game. So there's a lot to build on here. I know they've got a strong class coming in. I've never heard any coach say that we don't have a strong class coming in. That's like an automatic. Every coach, oh, no, we got a strong class coming in. So I think Maryland's in good shape. But that one, that was a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah, that's funny thinking about that. It's like the new defensive coordinator. They're going to be more aggressive this time, it turns out. That's really interesting.
No one ever said that's right. We're going to be less aggressive this year. We've looked at the tape, and we were just too aggressive.
Excited about passivity. We'll back off and let people give things all down the field on us. I want to go to Kentucky here, and it's very odd. They're good. Everyone knows it, okay? It's still the same, you know, Calipari class of excellent players, a couple, you know, upperclassmen in the squad, no PJ Washington. So they're in the Sweet 16. Nobody's talking about them. There's not much focus on them. They kind of got by both of their games. What did you see from that team? They still got a really high ceiling to me.
Yeah, I saw them during the regular season. I saw them at their best when they blew out Auburn at home. And I saw them, I don't want to say at their worst, because the first game out of the box against Duke was just so un-Kentucky-like the way they got destroyed. But I saw them against Tennessee, at Tennessee, and they didn't play particularly well in that game. So I know that the range is pretty wide for them. Without P.J. Washington, the concerns were twofold. One, on-court leadership, savvy, someone they could really lean on if they got into a tight spot. And two, his inside-outside ability. He's turned himself into one of the better players in the country because he worked on his game, he worked on his body, and he came back year two more polished than the freshman that we saw last year. Without him, I don't know if there's that fear factor that you normally have with Kentucky. Yes, they have McDonald's All-Americans all over the roster, but the one go-to guy that you thought could have a huge impact in this tournament is not in uniform right now. Maybe that changes this weekend. It didn't look promising to me when you're wearing a cast through the first two rounds of the tournament. You could say it's precautionary. It's still a cast. there's a serious issue right now with his left foot, and maybe something magically happens over the next couple of days, but it looks like they're going into this Sweet 16 matchup without the guy they thought was going to be their bread and butter.
And that'll be one of the two matchups you call in Kansas City, Missouri, on Friday, local time, I believe 7:30 and about 10 o'clock for tip-offs. North Carolina, Auburn, 1-5, and then Kentucky and Houston, 2-3. So as close to chalk as you're going to get. And I think a lot of people even thought, even though it was a 4-5 matchup, Auburn would come out past Kansas.
Yeah.
You're the call of the tournament when you said that Fletcher McGee was not human. I feel so bad for that kid, Ian. He had 7 threes and set the record, could do nothing wrong against Seton Hall. And then he went 0-for-12 in a game where if he's 10% of what he normally is, Wofford might knock off aforementioned Kentucky.
Yeah, they were a really unified, cohesive team. I think Mike Young felt this was the best team that he's ever had. They won their first game in NCAA tournament play in the previous round and did it by just crushing Seton Hall over the last 4 minutes of the game, and McGee was such a big part of it. But Nathan Hoover made big shots. Cameron Jackson, a go-to guy for them on the inside. It just reminds you of how humbling this game can be. McGee was the toast of the tournament after round one. The legend was growing. He sets the record for career three-pointers made. That's huge. That just shows you the totality of what he's done in his career, turning himself into that kind of player. And 2 days later, to take the collar, to go 0-for, and you're 100% right, guys. If he makes a few shots, we might be looking at a different result, and we might be talking about Wofford as one of the real darlings of the tournament and mid-major madness for the second week as opposed to the chalk that everybody is discussing right now.
Fantastic. Ian Eagle on the Mattress Warehouse hotline with us here talking NCAA tourney. You mentioned that Carolina-Auburn game. If you like pace, tune in. You're going to get dizzy watching these teams go up and down. I can't wait for it. This Auburn team, I'm trying to think of a good historical comp for them, Ian, and I can't really. The way they're like a higher-skilled VCU to compare to some of our local listeners here, just in terms of some of the shot-making they can do. But they get after you. Their pressure's relentless. They're fast. They're athletic. And, oh, by the way, North Carolina's like that too, but with McDonald's All-Americans. I can't wait for this matchup.
Yeah, I'm going to look into the CBS budget to see if we can have an oxygen tank right at the broadcast area so that Spanarkle and I can maintain our breathing. You're right. That's going to be a breakneck pace. I think Auburn is feeling really confident right now with what they've done in the SEC tournament, backed up by their performance here in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, Kansas was overseeded, so I think Auburn caught a break. That's the four seed that they drew. But, hey, that's how it's drawn up. Don't worry about who's on your schedule next. Just go out and play. And Bruce Pearl has these guys believing. And I had them earlier this year. They did not play well against Kentucky. And I would tell you it was probably a low point for them considering they were trying to find their footing. They had thought in previous games leading up to that game in Lexington that they had finally found the right recipe. In that game, Bryce Brown didn't shoot it well. McLemore wasn't a huge factor. Okiki was good but was in foul trouble. I just like their balance. I like how their team is put together. And then with North Carolina, just watching a little film today, and I've seen them throughout the season, but until they're assigned to your region, you don't really pay full attention to the point where you're jotting down notes and anecdotes. Kobe White is a blur.
Yep.
It's amazing. Obviously, you get the hair in there as well, so it makes for a really pleasing visual. But he has serious speed end to end. You know, I think back to John Wall at Kentucky. That's the reminder that I see when I go watch him go coast to coast. And, yeah, they're loaded. They're really talented. We know that. Roy Williams, he restocked the cupboard because they've got ability all across this roster, and the fact that Nasir Little, who would be a star for any team in college basketball, comes off the bench because of his inconsistency just shows you it's an embarrassment of riches.
The splendid Ian Eagle here on Grant and Danny should be calling the Super Bowl and a national title at some point here soon for CBS. Do you work with Jim Sparnacle on Yes at all? You guys have a really good rapport.
Yeah, I do. We've known each other now for 25 years.
Okay.
When I started with the Nets, I was doing radio. He was doing TV with Bill Raftery. He would back him up. And then when I moved to TV the next year, we started working together 25, 30 games a year. So that was over the course of 10, 12 years. Then there was a reconfiguration of the network. He was gone for a couple of years. He came back. So if you did the math over the NCAA tournament and the NBA, you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of games that we've worked together. And it's just really fun to say Spanarkle. You don't get to say that very often in life. Yeah. You just say it out of nowhere, like Spanarkle.
That could be a game-winning shot, kind of. Spanarkle! that could be as the bucket goes. So we had Kevin Harlan on the show, and I will do for you what I did for him, which is just as a parting gift for coming on a busy day. I've looked up the best steak in Kansas City. I've made a choice for you. We've got Anton's, sustainably focused American tavern, spotlighting dry-aged steaks and numerous draft beers. Looks like it's on Main Street in Kansas City for you.
Very nice. I'm, as you know, a vegetarian, but no big deal.
Darn.
I'm not.
I'm sure they've got great sides on it.
Well, the reason I'm sending you there is the mashed potatoes, Ian. I haven't gotten to that part. They're renowned, world renowned.
The crazy part is I'm actually an anti-vegetarian. I think I eat more meat than one human should eat. So your instincts were correct. Anton's. Done.
Anton's is the spot. Now, we don't have a gift card for you. That would be the next step. We got to work
on
that.
I thought there was a payoff here.
Just the suggestion that you should go eat there and pay.
It's just a Google search, really, Ian, at the stage.
Shared with you that Anton's would be a good spot. I could give you any city, and it's let me check that for you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Number one, 5-star. Yep, Anton's.
That's the one. Yeah, the gift card's in the mail, as they say.
Super, super. Great talking to you guys.
It's good having you. Enjoy, brother. One of the best in the biz, Ian Eagle, on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. 3 days away from the Nationals opening their season. They got a dress rehearsal tonight. Rob Gronkowski is retiring. Colt McCoy is on crutches. There's a lot to delve into.
I got to let you know a little tiny secret. Danny Ruye from my friends at the St. James. It's actually not really a little secret. It's pretty huge. It's the newest destination for active families in and around Washington, D.C. St. James, there's something for everybody here. Sports fanatics, let me list off some of the items. Two NHL ice-sized rinks. Ice-sized rinks? Two NHL-sized ice rinks. Ah, there we go. Speaking, state-of-the-art fieldhouse, hardwood courts, even an Olympic-sized pool, and that's just the beginning. They got top-notch coaches, competitive leagues in over 30 sports, and developmental training programs so you can learn at your own pace. That's important. Sports aside, there's an active entertainment center with climbing and bouldering walls, trampolines, VR games, and an unbelievable have-to-see-to-believe indoor water park, all perfect for that unforgettable birthday party. Plus, a premium health club with cardio classes like cycling and Pilates, dedicated personal trainers, and so much more. Post-workout, the premium full-service spa, she's waiting for you with restorative massages, facials, and even cryotherapy because you can never treat your body too well. To top it off, it's like the closer. This is your Sean Doolittle moment, right? They got a Spike Mendelsohn-designed restaurant. Our good friend of the show, Spike Mendelsohn, I might add, and a health and sports medicine center. With so much under one roof, the St. James is truly the first of its kind. Visit thestjames.co. That's thestjames.co and join today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We're on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson for me. Same on Instagram if you want to see a picture of a guy eating ice cream who looks like one of the dudes on Impractical Jokers.
I actually saw that photo and I chuckled at that.
Did you know which guy I was talking about?
I didn't because I don't watch the show, but like he actually did look like a guy, if that makes any sense.
There's a dude on Impractical Jokers with like long brown hair who always wears a Newsies cap like he's about to start singing. Q is his name. That's right. I don't know if it's, is it Quinn or what is his name? They call him Q. Yeah. And that guy was eating ice cream yesterday, but like 10 years younger in Georgetown.
So I saw that. And then right away, someone like got mad, like which people do. Like comments are the worst places in the world. One guy goes, bad bit. And then I checked yesterday. I did an event with Dan Colco, Charlie Slows.
How was that, by the way?
Oh, it was a lot of fun, actually. It was a lot of fun. I tell you, let me actually go get the comment real quick because this is actually worth.
So while you're doing that, I'll just explain.
Ahead,
so Danny went to the Georgetown waterfront for an appearance that we've done now pretty much 4 years running as a show. You and I off and on over the last few years. And what we do is we show up. We preview the national season generally with either Charlie or Dave or FP or Dan Colco, someone from one of the broadcasts. Bunch of Nats fans are hanging out on the Georgetown waterfront. We do a little trivia, give away some prizes, some tickets. It's a great time, and it's a good way to kick off the season.
So I'll let you read it. This is a picture of the four of us. It's me, John Paul Flame, Charlie Slows, and Dan Colco. And there's only one comment still. Liked 184 times. It's from the fans station account. Just a reminder, comments are awful, and they're
a terrible thing. So Danny's in a vest. We got JP in a dress shirt. We got Charlie and Dan Colco.
Just a normal. It's a picture of four guys who did this event.
Sean Rob 26. GD it. I can't take it anymore. I hate unfunny Danny's face more than cancer.
One comment. The only comment on the picture is that one.
Why did you make me read that?
Pretty terrible, right?
The whole That's an awful thing to read out loud.
Yeah, the whole point is that comments are awful. That's all.
Couldn't we have just said there's a terrible comment?
Yeah, well, I did, and I provided an example of that.
Why didn't you read it? Why did I have to be the guy to read that
comment? You didn't? Well, it's weird for me to read that about myself, I suppose. I don't know. Maybe it's not. I just thought you'd get a kick out of it.
I did get a kick out of it. That guy's a jerk.
Yeah.
People are awful. I mean, occasionally, very, very occasionally, I will retweet the worst of the worst comments just – for two reasons. One, I want everyone to know how bad a person that dude is who says that. And two, I just want people to know it's not all rainbows and sunshine.
It's not.
You know what I mean? It's a cool job. There's a lot of annoying people out there.
And again, no one's crying. No one's like, no one should feel sorry for us or anything. Yeah. It was just every once in a while, I like to throw out a taste, just a reminder. This is what's out there. We talk about sports.
People stink.
And people disagree with us sometimes. Now, and I understand I'm not one of the four junkies. I guess that's my fault.
I guess that's your fault.
It's a mistake that I made at one point, not being from Bowie, Maryland, and having a cable access show at one point. My fault. But that guy hates me because of that.
Can I ask a question, speaking of the junkies, about Hey, JP. Who I love very much. He means a lot to me. We did an appearance on the Nats with him one time.
I know where you're going with
it. And it was a disaster. We were at Nats Park.
Yeah.
You and me, and I don't even know how or why, the trio got thrown together. But JP was involved as well, and this was at the start of the playoffs in 2016, I believe.
Yep. It was the year the Cubs won the whole thing.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had this thing with, like, season ticket holders where I think they were trying to get them to renew their season tickets, and we were previewing the series coming up with the Cubs. And JP referred to himself before the event as, you know, you guys do the baseball thing, and I'm just going to be what he called the casual guy.
The casual guy.
What the casual guy turned into was basically, I don't think he meant it this way, but like condescending to all the people that were there.
Yes.
So like someone would ask a question where they would say, hey, who's going to catch for them after?
It was Wilson Ramos.
Yeah, Ramos just got hurt. They've got a Pedro Severino who played a little bit down the stretch. Jose Lobaton's not any good offensively. And what are they going to do at catcher? And JP's response was, they're going to start someone at catcher who catches.
So we're like legit debating, well, Severino, athleticism, obviously good catch and throw guy, not as good a pitch framer. Lobaton, very well thought of, maybe runs into a homer, et cetera. And like we had a legitimate debate about who you'd rather see. Maybe they put the matchups. JP goes, they're going to start a catcher. Doesn't matter. They're losing to the Cubs anyway. And everyone's like, yeah, oh, my God.
The casual guy. At a Nats event at Nats Park. And what the casual guy meant was, I'm just going to shtick it up a bit.
And he shticked it.
Then they asked, like, Victor Robles had blazing speed and was going to play in the playoffs, you know, off the bench. They're like, he's not going to play a whole lot. How much is he going to help him? And he's like, he's not going to help him. He's not going to play, or whatever it was. But
sure.
There's no, like, answer to the question presenting both sides. Did you get the casual guy at this event?
No. JP was...
He played ball.
He was MC JP. And that version of JP, by the way, that keeps the conversation going, is awesome.
So was he just putting balls on tees for you and Coco?
I mean, we were just Stockton-ing this thing. I mean, he was running off a screen. He was like, for me, I don't know. What do you guys think? And then, like, just kept teeing up conversations about, like, the rotation,
I wanted
the bullpen,
casual guy
most important
there.
Hitter.
I missed the casual guy.
Dude, the casual guy got shamed a little bit after the fact, if you recall.
He did get very shamed.
And we this JP yesterday played ball like no one's business.
Good for
beautiful
him.
Down there on the waterfront. Appreciate all the folks coming out. We gave away opening day tickets, which is pretty cool, the trivia game.
Wow. We didn't do that in the past, I don't
think. No, this was bigly.
To the opener.
To the opener.
Thursday. First pitch, scheduled for?
1:05, I believe. Is that right?
I thought it was a 3 o'clocker. Let's make sure.
Am I wrong about that?
We're not getting an opening day in our time slot, are we? That would be impressive. Generally, everyone around baseball, I thought, opens a little later than that.
You could be right. I apologize. I'm looking.
It's 1:05.
1:05.
Hey, now.
Yeah, I was right. You made me question myself.
I had no idea. Normally, it's a 3 o'clock first pitch a lot of times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So does that mean we have the opener in our time slot?
That's right.
We have the Bryce return in our time slot.
Mm-hmm.
We have, what else do we have in our time slot?
The second, another game against the Mets, the day after the Scherzer situation.
Dude, you guys know what you got to do at 1:05 on Thursday, right?
What's that?
Turn on your pals, Grant and Danny.
That's right.
For the best hour of radio we will provide in a long, long time. And that is the first couple of innings of the 2019 Nationals baseball season.
I want a pitcher's duel until 2 o'clock. Mow through those innings.
You want like 4 good innings of baseball?
Oh, yeah. Let's go pace of play rules. Let's really emphasize that.
I would take an 8-run Nats first with like 47 minutes of no commercials.
Oh, I could go with that, too.
What do you think about that?
I smell what you're stepping in.
Let's go 3-up, 3-down max, punch out 2, 11-pitch first, and then the boys bat around and score 7 runs.
Batted around off Jacob DeGrom. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That'd be the first time I think a team's ever batted around on Jacob DeGrom.
In the first inning.
Doesn't really happen often.
Not that often.
They hit him pretty good in spring training recently. That doesn't mean a whole lot. For Grant and Danny, next on 106.7 The Fan. Missouri's Drew Locke, a great fit for the Redskins, says Daniel Jeremiah. In fact, of all the teams in the league, he thinks the Redskins are the best fit for Drew Locke. We'll explain next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Before we get to Drew Locke being a fit for the Redskins, Daniel Jeremiah labeling Washington as a great home for him, something you and I have wanted to hit on throughout the day. We've been busy. Should make this announcement. Tune in at 10:30 tomorrow so that we can tell you a little something-something, Nats fans, you're going to want to hear. We got a show announcement. I'll actually go one step further and give you some hints here.
Okay.
We have 2 regulars this season on Grant and Danny.
2.
So in the past, you guys know this past year we didn't, but in the past we had Max Scherzer on every single week, which is really, really cool. We're going to have 2 players on every single week, all season long. We will tell you who they are tomorrow morning at 10:30. Make sure you're listening for our big announcement and the big reveal tomorrow at that time.
You will like it. If you like the Washington Nationals Baseball Club, and dare I say, if you can tolerate or stomach the Grant and Danny radio program, you'll enjoy this.
if we got to choose players, like CK came to us and said, give me a list, rank your top 10 Nats you'd most want on the show every single week.
Mm-hmm.
The two guys that we got, I would say, are in my top three, if not one and two, to be completely honest with you, and I'm not just saying that. Like, for the Redskins, to me, the number one guy you'd want doing a weekly segment this coming year would be maybe Josh Norman.
Because yeah, that's
he's
hard,
got,
by the way.
He's got a lot to say, and he's always kind of outspoken, and he's popular, and he moves the needle. So from a radio standpoint, he'd be my pick.
Let's circle back to that as a topic, by the way. That's interesting. In other words, like, because that translates into who moves the needle. Like, who would you want to hear from?
Right.
There are guys that we love. Obviously, we love Ryan Kerrigan. We love Trent Williams. Would you want to hear from those guys every week on a show? I don't know.
I mean, I love having Kerrigan on. When he comes on with us regularly, he's a really good guest.
I mean, he's excellent. I mean,
but as far as the Nats go, we hit a home run. So we're just going to tell you tomorrow at 10:30 who's going to be on the show regularly. Make sure you're listening at that time. And hopefully the first of those regular appearances will take place tomorrow right here on Grant and Danny. But you mentioned how much you liked what Daniel Jeremiah did, so let's get into this.
Yes.
He went through the four top quarterback prospects in the class. He even went a little deeper than that, but those are the guys that you guys care about that matter the most. And he assigned each player a team where they would fit best schematically with a coach where they might be able to have the most success based on how they would look in the offense the team currently runs. His answer for Drew Lock was the Redskins.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
So we talked about Lock a little bit either Thursday or Friday when we were at the Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races and Slots. And I was lukewarm on him. I don't dislike, but I didn't love, right? Well, in reading Daniel Jeremiah's piece about schematic fits and so on, I did a little bit more deep diving on Drew Lock. So I went back to his junior season where he put up some video game numbers despite lower completion percentages. He had that some of the eye-popping, gouty stats that you're looking for. 44 touchdowns, over 10 yards adjusted yards per attempt, meaning when he dropped back to pass, what happened? And it was a lot of good stuff, despite a lower completion percentage that he kind of cleaned up a bit as a senior. So now you start to think about it a little bit. And it wasn't as if the team was that much better. They were the 7-6 middle of the pack SEC team, his senior year, 8-5. But looking at some of those numbers, looking at some of the games against their more difficult opponents, because that's simulating closest to what you're going to see at the NFL level in terms of speed, in terms of athleticism and the like, starting to grow on me a little bit. And with someone as smart as Jeremiah, who's not just in the business of grading a prospect, right? Because it's easy to do that. Easy to submit your thing. And I think this guy's better than, Bosa's better than Christian Wilkins, who's not quite as good as Devin White. And then you got a list and nobody holds you accountable. This basically takes the view that a general manager has to fit, right? Where you go, yeah, this guy's great. Yeah, he does these measurable things well. But what does he do for me? What does he do for what my coaches want to run? What does he do as an edge rusher? If we're in a 4-3, maybe Montez Sweat isn't the best pick, or maybe he is. Maybe this J.J. Watt character is not a perfect 4-3 defensive end, but as a 3-4 defensive end, he's a havoc wreaker. You got to figure those things out. And that's kind of what Jeremiah took a swing at, and I respect that an awful lot.
Yeah, I think that that's really the way that the draft experts aren't asked to cover the draft, but sometimes should. And he did this as its own piece, like a standalone assessment, which mm-hmm. I liked. Because generally, you just got to put guys in slots based on quarterbacks being overvalued and overdrafted. The comp that a lot of people have for Drew Lock is Matt Stafford. If he ends up being Matt Stafford,
that's a success to
me. I'd be ecstatic to get him at number 15. That's a franchise quarterback. Whatever you think of him, stat compiler, quote-unquote, not a winner, all the dumb things that you hear about Matt Stafford, who's been in an awful Detroit organization for many years. You can make big throws. You can gain a lot of yards. You can score a lot of touchdowns. I will take that. As far as strengths of Drew Lock go, the size and the arm talent's the beginning of the conversation. This guy's 6'4 and 230. You design a quarterback on a video game to be 6'4 and 230. Now, he's got smaller hands, 9-inch hands, smaller than even Kyler Murray's, which supposedly is a problem. But in terms of the height and the weight and the frame, he's the real deal. The arm strength is legit. Doesn't have to put a lot of effort into deep balls. Watching him at the combine, I thought Daniel Jones had to crow hop and step into throws down the field. Drew Lock made it look easy, man. Flicking his wrist 45, 50 yards without a problem. He's got really good movement in the pocket at times. You know, some of that quick twitch, sudden ability to be mobile. As a ball handler, with, you know, quick release out of the pocket. He hadn't had any problems. He throws and he anticipates. These are all things that get graded out very favorably in his scouting report. The weaknesses, and I'll just use a few of what NFL.com's experts, including Jeremiah, put together. Frustrating inconsistencies with accuracy and touch. You mentioned it.
Yep.
Not being as accurate as you want. Oftentimes on some shorter intermediate throws, rather than putting air under the ball and lofting it, you know, kind of into an open area to throw a guy open, he might put a little bit too much zip on it, make it hard to catch. Fires fastballs on easy short throws when a changeup is needed.
The Jay Schrader corollary.
Arm thrower with truncated follow through. I think that's part of the reason that he throws some of those fastballs when he should go off speed.
Right.
That can be cleaned up, man.
I think you can coach that.
I do. Leaves ball behind his targets on crosses and slants. That's an accuracy issue. Sometimes that can be harder to bring along with a prospect. Drops arm slot, leading to bad passes. You should have an alarm going off that says, beep, 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 mechanics. Mechanics are fixable. So a lot of this stuff, I think, when you hear about what people don't like about Drew Locke, can be coached out of him. He is an athlete, though, and I like that about him.
And that leads to coachability, right? If a guy doesn't have athleticism, doesn't have anything else in the tank, you kind of go, well, this is the finished product. This is what it looks like, maybe with a couple better reads with experience, but that's that. He is an athletic guy. I haven't, and again, who am I? I'm just a fat idiot talking to you. But I haven't changed my rankings specifically, but he's grown on me a hair, I will say. Just again, looking at what Jeremiah had to say and then kind of going back to his junior year. Again, the performance against the top defenses in the SEC this past year is what kind of didn't give me as much confidence in Locke. But thinking about Gruden's system, thinking about what he likes in his quarterbacks, thinking how he's taken pedestrian JAG-type guys that aren't special athletes or have special arm strength or anything like that, and gotten some pretty good production out of them, the Locke idea has grown on me a little bit. I will say that. I initially said, no, I'm not a Locke guy. Looking a little bit deeper, though, and maybe I'm too easily swayed by Daniel Jeremiah, someone that I respect so darn much, but I'm starting to like it a little bit better, I'll say.
Daniel Jeremiah, a great draft analyst and also a crockpot that cooks meat for Chad on Fridays.
He does a lot of work.
On Chad Dukes versus the World. CDVTW, by the way, is only 18 minutes away. By the way, Rob Gronkowski has only been retired for 18 minutes. Yet Drew Rosenhaus is already saying that he might play again.
Oh, the door's Rosenhaus opened the door. I meant to say that earlier.
So we should get into that. But also, there's something going on tonight in Boston that a lot of people are speculating could be the reason why Gronkowski announced his retirement last night. Might we see the debut of Gronk the Wrestler tonight? WWE is in Boston for Monday Night Raw.
That feels too convenient, right?
He's got buddies in the WWE. He's been involved before in matches where he like stands outside the ring. He's always in the mix. At WrestleMania, he has showed up. WrestleMania is coming up. They need some star power. There's some speculation on that. We'll hit that in the leftovers next on Grant and Danny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, 10:30 tomorrow for our announcement on the two Nationals. Will be joining us all season long here on GND. A couple of things before we get out of here today. Start you off with the retirement of Rob Gronkowski. You buying or selling, Danny, that he will be on Monday Night Raw tonight, starting career number two as a WWE wrestler in the push for WrestleMania? I'm saying no, because I think he's so broken down with his body.
Yeah, I don't think he can take bumps. Is that the right use of the term, Tommy? I felt pretty good about it.
Great use of that term.
Nailed it, yeah.
He'd have to be either a trainer. Is his boy, who's his buddy, Thom? I need you to help me out here. So is Mojo Rawley wrestling right now? Is he a big name in any way, or is he gone?
No, funny enough, he's in the middle of a complete reboot on Monday Night Raw, and he's been doing this thing where he sits backstage and he constantly looks in the mirror and asks himself questions. So Dar and I were doing a little bit of fan fiction in this room. Who's not to say that tonight Gronk is on the other side of the mirror, and it's actually been Mojo looking at Gronk the whole time?
Oh, wow. I kind of dig that. See, I don't think he'd get in the ring, but what if he, like, walks him out to the ring, and every time you see Gronk, he cuts a promo, and everyone just loves it because it's Gronk?
Yeah, I think it's a Tonight thing. I don't think this is him now going on tour. Like, he and Vince McMahon have a secret deal, and he's going to, you know, announce that he's now a face or
something. So then you're selling the idea of him joining WWE.
I think he'll make an appearance tonight. He'll be in the ring with his Wisconsin accent, and all excited to be out here, and, like, let's go over the championship. And everyone's going to, like, yell and be excited for 5 seconds, and that'll be that.
I'll go one step further. I don't think we see him tonight. I think this
think is... he's just ringside?
No, I don't think he's involved at all.
Oh, really?
I think a lot of people are speculating, and I hope that they're right, but I think that Raw comes and goes from Boston. It's all a big coincidence that he retired yesterday. I don't think we see or hear from Gronk at all tonight.
The odds from BetShark, 3-2.
That he posts?
That he becomes a WWE wrestler. Post NFL.
Yeah, wait, he actually becomes a wrestler, not just tonight, but like forever.
At any point. People have said for years that that was going to be the next place.
Because he's done so many things with them, right?
He has. Again, the reason he's retiring is not because he's tired of playing.
Yeah.
Because he can't move.
It's because everything hurts so much.
Dude, can you imagine him trying to get up steps on a Monday? By the way, are you familiar with his girlfriend, Camille Kostic?
Yes, I've seen some documentation.
She is one of my favorite personalities of the people in her lifestyle, which is like model / Instagram famous for whatever she's Instagram famous for. She actually uses that for good.
Really?
Yeah. Like, she actually is like one of these feel good personalities who puts people and props people up on pedestals. She seems like she's a legit human being, which I like.
That's nice.
Yeah. I'm a fan of that couple. I like them a lot.
I like that better than the normal, like, influencer behaving like a celebrity without being a celebrity thing.
I've got someone I got to show you after the show.
I love documentation. Information is so good.
She did a 4-minute video, this girl, on how much she's changed her life in the last year.
Uh-huh.
And she posted this picture about how I used to hate myself, and now I love myself, and look at the difference. And on one side, she's just smoking hot. On the other side, she's just smoking hot.
Yeah, she's really made a lot of adjustments.
But it's like... she's like, this was me 365 days ago. And
you
wouldn't
even believe that.
I'm like, which one is now? Right. Which one is today?
Which one's the before shot?
But it's all, honest to God, it would be a hilarious SNL skit. The only problem is that it wouldn't work because it'd be funny. But her picture side by side with her old picture and her 4 minutes going on about all the lifestyle changes she's made.
Yeah, because it's so apparent.
And she used to eat fish once a week, but now she doesn't. Like, certain things, whatever it is.
Enough.
I watched it and just kind of giggled and moved on with my life. It would ruin your day, and for that reason, I want you to see it.
I'd have probably like 15 seconds, and then I would throw my hands up.
Oh, you got to see it. I did want to hit on one thing from the tournament that we haven't yet. We talked about the locals, the fact that Virginia Tech is going to play Duke. That game is going to be played at 9:40 local time on Friday night at Capital One Arena. Should be something of a home game for the Hokies. The other game at Capital One Arena is Michigan State and LSU. That's going to be awesome. Yep. 7:10 tip-off. What a great college basketball game our local audience will be able to see. But tip of the cap to the Tigers. I know Maryland fans do not want to hear this, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but for LSU, left for dead. Some people were picking Yale to beat them.
Yeah, that was a popular pick.
Go back to Selection Sunday. Watch all of the experts talking about coachless LSU, a team that won the regular season title in the SEC, and then absolutely fell apart in the tournament. Will Wade, the former VCU coach who's under investigation and wasn't cooperating, had to leave. Nobody gave them a shot. They beat Yale, barely. They beat Maryland, barely. They're in the Sweet 16. I don't know that you could say right now that this is a great story because they were still a 3 seed, but if they beat Michigan State and get to the Elite Eight, that's an amazing story without their head coach.
It is a good story. And the cynical folks will mock that, of course, because it's a great story because somebody cheated and they're cheaters.
But the kids didn't. You know what the kids did? Went out and played really good basketball when no one thought they'd be able to keep it up.
And they played together. I mean, they beat a tough Maryland team. Maryland gave the way Maryland played defense, the way their bigs competed, that was a grown man's basketball game. That was Big East style, you know, 1988 type stuff.
This is me taking my hat off to Danny Ruye.
Doffing a tip of the cap?
Because you were all over Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. What they did to Ja Morant and Murray State in the 4-12 game, a 28-point win. Gonzaga's going to have their hands full on Thursday night.
So this is weird. I talked out of both sides of my mouth when it came to Gonzaga. That's a really good team that nobody knew. No one knew about them. You saw them early in the season beat Duke, And then they go hide in the Northwest and play, you know, whatever it is that they play. They lost to St. Mary's in their tournament. They're terrific. They got a couple NBA players on that team. They're really well coached. They know what they're about. I had them getting upset initially in a lot of brackets by Syracuse because I thought Syracuse would have Howard, and I thought that 2-3 zone would flummox them, and it'd be a weird game. I've got Florida State advancing out of this one, and I had it before the tournament started just because that Florida State team, as Kevin Harlan said when he came on with us, and he was terrific. If you missed it, podcast at grantandandy.com. They just come at you in waves. They're unique. It reminds me of like that Arkansas 40 minutes of hell with Nolan Richardson type stuff. Less pressure, less press, but just waves of athletes. It's like they got 10 of the same guy sprinting at you, getting in your face, but they've got some skill as well. That is a really good team that is dangerous.
We got out of the casino at a great time, by the way, because all dogs go to heaven was my slogan all
the weekend. Grant Paulson Kennel Club had an amazing Thursday, Friday.
21-9 against the spread. How about that?
This is what I'm doing. I'm putting
a few hunch, my friend.
My left hand is static. My right hand is hitting it repeatedly. Look
now,
at you.
I got out of there at 21-9. If I would have bet underdogs all weekend, I would have been pummeled. Literally every single team favored won straight up. I don't know about against the spread, but by and large, many of those favorites covered. I would have gotten absolutely crushed Saturday and Sunday if I kept my theory up, which had worked great for me for 2 days. So we left at a perfect time. I was really happy with the trip. Thanks to everyone at Hollywood Casino.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for having us.
We walked away on a heater. We feel good about that.
21-9.
We'll take it.
We should be talking about that a little bit more. There should be a you tooting your horn a bit more.
No, that was the secretary winning the office pool. Your boy was just bubbling.
No. You...
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.